Model Test 11.
Section A. Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, 1 or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Now, let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
Question 11.
You look like already getting well.
Yeah, it's amazing what a good night's sleep can do for a man. I thought I was getting a cold yesterday, so I went to bed a couple of hours early, and I really feel in the pink now.
What are the 2 speakers talking about?
Question 12.
How would you like to go to McDonald's for lunch?
I don't mind going there, but there is something I hate. It's too noisy inside, especially during the weekends.
What does the woman say about lunch at McDonald's?
Question 13.
Did you hear that Phil is being assigned that really nice office on the 2nd floor?
Yes, just this morning. To tell the truth, I think it was a question of who yelled the loudest.
What can be inferred from the conversation?
Question 14.
The music is so beautiful that I'd like to dance, but I don't know the steps.
It doesn't matter. No one will be looking at us in the crowd.
What does the woman suggest they do?
Question 15.
Hello, Mr. Johnson. I'm calling about the car you advertised. Can you tell me something about it?
It's my wife's car, and she's the one who puts the advertisement in the paper. But I'll try. She isn't here right now.
What is the man trying to do?
Question 16.
Do you still remember our old classmate, Mary King? She called me the other day. She had just come back, and she also mentioned you. So what about going out to dinner on Friday night? Any suggestions?
You have the final word. I don't know any restaurant here.
What can be inferred from the conversation?
Question 17.
I'm considering taking Mr. Hill's case. You know, poor guy.
If I were you, I'd drop that client like a hot potato. He's always suing somebody for something, but he usually loses and he doesn't pay his lawyer's bills.
What does the man suggest the woman do?
Question 18.
So how was the drama club's new production last night? Did I miss out on anything good?
Hardly. I kept looking at my watch the whole time.
What does the man mean?
Now you'll hear the two long conversations.
Conversation 1.
We all know that going to college can suck your wallet dry, leave you thousands and thousands of dollars in debt. The question is it worth it? Penelope Wang, a senior writer for Money Magazine, has been doing the research. Thanks for joining us here.
Thank you.
The cost of going to college has increased 439% since 1982. A pretty unbelievable statistic. What is behind the surge?
Well, there are a number of factors. Some of them pretty obvious, driving college costs. One is growing demand. There are a record number of kids graduating from high school, all wanting to go to college, or at least a good portion of them. And there's less support from the government, both federal and state. But one of the most surprising factors we found was the demand from many parents to send their kids to really expensive brand-name colleges. And that creates a cycle that pushes up tuition at all colleges.
Is it worth it?
Well, in many cases, it's probably not. People are taking out way too much debt that they don't have realistic prospects of paying back. And going to an expensive college isn't going to help.
Will the statistics keep going up?
We don't think so. Actually, there's been push by Congress to take a look at colleges that aren't spending part of their endowments increasing financial aid or keeping tuition down. And recently, some of the most expensive colleges have really boosted their financial aid so that many families from middle-class households can send their kids at much reduced costs to these schools.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 19.
What are the speakers mainly talking about?
Question 20.
Which is not the factor pushing college costs up?
Question 21.
What is good news to families with students going to college?
Conversation 2.
Look, dear, you must talk to George. He left school 3 months ago. He still hasn't got a job, and he isn't trying to find one. All he does is smoke, eat, and play records.
All right, I've talked to him. You know what's wrong with him?
No, I don't know.
Oh, he's not at home? Maybe we can talk about it now.
I'm very worried about him. It's time for him to find a job.
Yes, he said he would know what's going on. Don't worry, he has some ideas.
Any ideas? Does he have any special plan?
Not really, dear.
What about a job in a bank or an insurance company, perhaps? Maybe you can help.
But he doesn't want an office job.
Perhaps you are right. I did ask someone whether there are any vacant positions for him.
Well, you know what he wants to do.
He'd like to travel, right?
Does he want a job with a travel firm, then?
The trouble is he doesn't really want a job at the moment. He'd just like to travel and see a bit of the world.
Okay, I give up.
Yes, I think I should give up too. He thinks he has his own right to lead his life.
Questions 22 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 22.
What does George's mother want?
Question 23.
When did George leave school?
Question 24.
What jobs has George's mother not suggested?
Question 25.
What does George want to do at the moment?
Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. It's the most romantic day of the year, but for many people, the cards they receive on February 14 are not from a Valentine, but from themselves. 1 in 9 love letters received on Valentine's Day were sent by people to themselves to save face on the dreaded V-Day. According to a survey released by online retailer Amazon.com.uk, Amazon, which questioned more than 1,000 people in Britain, France, and Germany, also found 1 in 3 cards was received by a parent and 1 person in 10 admitted to stealing a card from a sibling or housemate. Amazon said Germans were least romantic, with 69% saying Valentine's Day was unimportant, compared to 54% of Britons and 46% of French. Germans were also the most likely to forget to give their partner presents, while the French spent the most on their loved ones. 1 in 3 French lovers splashed out between $42 and $84 on a gift, and 11% spent more than $84. The most common romantic gift in Britain and Germany was flowers. The French were more likely to choose a romantic dinner.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 26.
What is the main idea of the passage?
Question 27.
What is not true about Valentine cards?
Question 28.
What can be inferred of people's attitudes towards Valentine's Day from the survey of Amazon? Passage 2.
Tens of thousands of people from around the world hurled tons of overripe tomatoes at each other Wednesday in an annual food fight that leaves the eastern Spanish town of Bernal covered in red pulp. More than 40,000 people, including many visitors from Australia, Britain, and the United States, took part in the food fight known as the Tomatina, now in its 64th year. They were provided with over 100 tons of tomatoes by the town council for the battle, which lasted about 1 hour and left participants covered in pulp and standing ankle deep in red mush.
Many men were shirtless while others wore old clothes, hard hats, goggles, or protective plastic sheets. Shopkeepers put up huge plastic covers on their storefronts or boarded them up to protect their properties from the sea of red mush. After a battle, municipal workers and local residents used giant hoses to clear the walls and streets of the tomato pulp in just half an hour while the participants headed to a nearby river where temporary showers were set up. The event cost the town of some 10,000 residents 28,000 euros to stage. Spanish media reported, "The Tomatina is held each year in Bunol, located in a fertile region some 25 miles north of the coastal city of Valencia, Spain's third largest city, on the last Wednesday in August. Origins of the event are unclear, although it is thought to have its roots in a food fight between childhood friends in the mid-1940s in the city. It has grown in size as international press coverage brought more and more people to the festival."
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 29.
What does the passage mainly talk about?
Question 30.
How do visitors clean them up after the tomato fight?
Question 31.
Which statement is not true according to the passage?
Passage 3.
Many cities around the United States are proud to have historic buildings that are recognized by the federal government. But in the state of New Jersey, a whole city is listed as a National Historic Landmark. The little city of Cape May lies at the end of a narrow piece of land with the Atlantic Ocean to the east and the Delaware Bay to the west. Officials say the city is the oldest seaside holiday place in the United States. The first visitors were Native American Indians who spent summers hunting and fishing in the area. In 1620, the area was named by a Dutch ship captain, Cornelius Jacobson May. 25 years later, settlers formed the first government of Cape May. Other people came from the eastern New England states, New York State, and Britain. The first successful industry in Cape May was whaling, but as early as the middle 1700s, Cape May began to be known as a place to visit in the summer. Most people travelled to the area by boat. In the early 19th century, steamboats came from the city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Delaware, which led to a huge increase in visitors. In order to deal with these large numbers of people, a new hotel was built right on the beach, the Mount Vernon Hotel, the largest in the world when it was built in 1853. However, after only 3 years, the combination of wood building and gas lighting led to a huge fire that destroyed the hotel.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 32.
Who are the first visitors of Cape May to spend summer?
Question 33.
What led to the development of Cape May as a tourist attraction in the 19th century?
Question 34.
In what year was the Mount Vernon Hotel destroyed?
Question 35.
Which statement is not true about Cape May, according to the passage?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now, listen to the passage.
Less use of air conditioners would be better for us all. A strict no air conditioning ban was enforced for 87,000 students, taking the college entrance examination this month despite temperatures in many areas reaching 34 to 36 degrees Celsius. Although this long-term practice is being promoted as a pragmatic means to ensure fairness, since air conditioning is not available at all exam locations, rather than for environmental reasons, it nevertheless offers a good opportunity for the country to reconsider its addiction to air conditioning. If students can manage without air conditioners in the heat of examinations, could not the rest of the population go cold turkey once in a while? If not, off, then down, since air conditioners consume energy and contribute to climate change in proportion to each degree they are set below surrounding temperature. Vehicle AC systems can be a cause of sinusitis in some people, while poorly maintained air conditioning may lead to the proliferation of microorganisms such as Legionella, pneumophilia. The problem with new high-tech machines is that they present a sizable contribution to man-made climate change. Cooling agents such as CFCs and their modern replacements are greenhouse gases with far more global warming potential than carbon dioxide, should they leak into the atmosphere. It is everyone's responsibility to minimize his or her own contribution to the problem.
Now the passage will be read again.
Less use of air conditioners would be better for us all. A strict no air conditioning ban was enforced for 87,000 students, taking the college entrance examination this month despite temperatures in many areas reaching 34 to 36 degrees Celsius. Although this long-term practice is being promoted as a pragmatic means to ensure fairness, since air conditioning is not available at all exam locations, rather than for environmental reasons, it nevertheless offers a good opportunity for the country to reconsider its addiction to air conditioning. If students can manage without air conditioners in the heat of examinations, could not the rest of the population go cold turkey once in a while? If not, off, then down, since air conditioners consume energy and contribute to climate change in proportion to each degree they are set below surrounding temperature. AC systems can be a cause of sinusitis in some people, while poorly maintained air conditioning may lead to the proliferation of microorganisms such as Legionella, pneumophilia. The problem with new high-tech machines is that they present a sizable contribution to man-made climate change. Cooling agents, such as CFCs, and their modern replacements are greenhouse gases with far more global warming potential than carbon dioxide. Should they leak into the atmosphere, it is everyone's responsibility to minimize his or her own contribution to the problem.
Now the passage will be read for the third time.
Less use of air conditioners would be better for us all. A strict no air conditioning ban was enforced for 87,000 students, taking the college entrance examination this month despite temperatures in many areas reaching 34 to 36 degrees Celsius. Although this long-term practice is being promoted as a pragmatic means to ensure fairness, since air conditioning is not available at all exam locations, rather than for environmental reasons, it nevertheless offers a good opportunity for the country to reconsider its addiction to air conditioning. If students can manage without air conditioners in the heat of examinations, could not the rest of the population go cold turkey once in a while? If not, off, then down, since air conditioners consume energy and contribute to climate change in proportion to each degree they are set below surrounding temperature. Vehicle AC systems can be a cause of sinusitis in some people, while poorly maintained air conditioning may lead to the proliferation of microorganisms such as Legionella, pneumophilia. The problem with new high-tech machines is that they present a sizable contribution to man-made climate change. Cooling agents, such as CFCs, and their modern replacements are greenhouse gases with far more global warming potential than carbon dioxide. Should they leak into the atmosphere, it is everyone's responsibility to minimize his or her own contribution to the problem.
This is the end of Listening Comprehension.